We can't outthink or outperform our current level of safety in our nervous system. If you can't hold what you have now, what makes you think you can hold what's coming? You can't, or you will sabotage it. Don't let fear talk you out of anything less than everything you want. So is it not aligned, or is it just uncomfortable? Be honest with yourself. There are many things that are aligned that also feel uncomfortable because you've never been here before.
What if you could build a business in the modern world as big or as small as you want without having to compromise the things that were the most important to you in the very beginning? This is the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast with Taylor Welch and Mike Walker, as they share with you today their learning lessons from stories and their experiences over the past 10 to 15 years, and share with you right here, right now. Let's get into it.
If you don't know, our guest today is Carrie Ford, and she is going to be bringing the energy, bringing the wisdom. If you don't know, she's an electric speaker. And I would say a terrific teacher. So you're a somatic success expert. You mentor high achieving entrepreneurs and executives who want peace, profit, and productivity. And we're just so excited for you to host today's call about, again, today's topic, upper limits and sustaining success. So on a scale of 1 to 10, put how excited you are in the chat, and then I'll pass it over to you, Carrie. You can share your screen.
That sounds awesome. Thank you, Luke. Yeah, so I'm actually going to start us off today by getting really present. Those of us that have the constant mind chatter, the noise that wants to pull us out of the present moment, this is just to expand your mind, presence your body, and open you to receive fully what we're going to talk about today. And so I'm going to have you put your feet flat on the ground. This is a really beautiful somatic practice. Sometimes we look around the space, it's called orienting. How often we're in a space and we don't look out the window. Oh yeah, there's leaves out there. Oh, like, wow, I really enjoy the way the light's reflecting off that window. Or this little thing that I painted with my son is on my desk. But we're gonna close the visual cortex, which is the eyes, as you bring your feet flat to the ground. And as you do that, I want you to gently, if you have a back to your chair, gently press your back against the chair. Feeling the support. Right? Feeling the relationship of your back against the chair. And then bringing your awareness to the chair against your back. Feeling the relationship of both. And then as you do that, I want you to listen to the most distant sound you can hear in your space right now. Maybe it's cars, maybe it's a dog, maybe you have the windows open, just tuning in, feeling that in your body as it starts to settle in. And then bringing your awareness to the next most distant sound. A little bit closer. And then lastly, bringing your awareness to the closest sound. Maybe it's my voice. Maybe it's a computer fan. Maybe it's something else. And then lastly, bringing awareness to your feet again, gently pressing them into the floor. There you are in this moment right now. I am where my feet are planted is often something I might say when I'm grounding myself into the present here and now. And when you're ready, you can just join me and open the eyes again. Noticing what you feel in your body, just in that subtle shift to bring your energy and awareness to the sensory experience of the body in and around you. And the reason I had you do that is because we are animals with a nervous system having a human experience. So of course, we have upper level limits that might cause us to protect if we feel like we're in danger. And the nervous system is doing its job when it does that. And so that's what we're going to discuss today. I'm bringing the somatic lens to it because we can't outthink or outperform our current level of safety in our nervous system. You might have heard this said in a different way, which is we can't outperform our current limiting beliefs. Same, same. But instead of just up in the mind, cognitive thinking, we're dropping into the body. And you've probably heard the term somatic or soma. It's a buzzword with all the rage these days on Instagram. What the fuck does it mean? Soma is the Greek word for body. It literally just means the physical body, right? The experience we're having as an animal with a nervous system and how our nervous system scans to make sure we're safe, right? So I want to apply this and have you identify in business, in money, in relationship, whatever your definition of more or success is, I want you to be able to take away one tangible thing, a pattern perhaps, where you've seen yourself in the past sabotage something so that you can't unsee it, right? And so we're going to bring it into, instead of top-down processing where most people do the mindset work, most people spend their time up in the thinking brain, I think, I feel, and they're bringing it up into the mindset. But if the body is not on board, it is still subconsciously driving actions and behaviors. So bottom-up processing is illogical and it is not cognitive. Oftentimes it doesn't make sense. But I'm going to bet you felt something when I brought you back into your body and just simply brought your awareness to what richness is available to you right now in this moment. Wow, I didn't even notice I heard that. Or it looks brighter when I open my eyes and I do feel really supported and held in this chair. And if the back of this chair weren't there, I'd friggin' fall over. So that's pretty cool. So I'm going to apply this today. Let me just share my screen here to our topic. And I just got back from West Palm Beach and I gave a similar speech to about 75, 80 women that are 7 and 8 figure entrepreneurs in West Palm Beach around upper level limits. And this one I'm applying a little bit more towards sustainable success, right? How we get to a certain level of success. And then we find often once we get there, what we did to get there is no longer sustainable or really the path that is required for us to continue to keep success and to go to the next level. It looks and feels a lot different. Dustin says, the unconscious is constantly, unwaveringly, and beautifully illogical. Yes, I feel that. I love it. All right, can we see this screen? It's good. Okay, so upper limits and sustaining success. We're going to talk about it in three segments. Feel, which I gave you a little taste of. Knowing your nervous system. Everyone has a unique nervous system and a unique imprint, just like a thumbprint. And therefore, everybody has a different threshold, a different window of tolerance is what they call it. And so the smallest thing might set somebody off and they get thrown out of their window of tolerance and go into overwhelm very easily versus someone that might have been doing this a long period of time, right? And what I love about high achievers and high performers is y'all are resilient as fuck. Your risk tolerance is higher because you fail bigger. You know what it's like to pick yourself back up and to get back in the arena, right? To just hop back in the saddle and know you're going to be okay because you are your source of everything. And so feeling your nervous system and anticipating some of those behaviors where that sneaky like self-sabotage that it unconsciously shows up is super important. And it's an edge that most people don't bring in. A lot of people play at the level of the mind and that's just mental. You're aware of what you're aware of. What you're not sure how to do is how to actually change it. Somatics for me was where I was like, oh, I have the key to actually change things and move the needle first in my internal world. And I watched everything externally rearrange as a result. It's a little woo. And if it feels esoteric, I'm going to invite you to redefine the word woo as a window of opportunity, being open, as somebody said. The second segment is about unlearning everything you did to achieve the success you have. At a certain point, you will have to unlearn to keep the success you have and work on that next level and iteration of what that evolution looks like for you. And then sustaining, right? Moving beyond those upper level limits. Knowing your nervous system. I'm visual, so I put together some graphics. Limits is in quotes because there are no limits. There's no there's no sky is the limit. There's no glass ceiling. It's only the self-perceived limits that we have in our mind and in our body, right? But many of us spend time, we go up this left side, right? In ascending, in chasing the achievement, in the pursuit of reaching this next level, this perceived next, you know, level, but it's where upper level limits happen. And you might get a taste of the really good stuff or the too good to be trues. And then we start to sabotage because it feels like it's too good to be true. And it feels unsafe, right? We call this sabotage, but I want to invite you to call sabotage protection. If we were to talk about lottery ticket winners, 70% of them spend away their savings and their winnings. I'm gonna guess that consciously, most lottery ticket winners don't say, hey, you know what? I'd really love to come into massive amounts of abundance and wealth and then spend it all away only to arrive right back where I started. But somatically, that's exactly what they're saying because their body is running the show and unconsciously they are sabotaging only to arrive right back to where they started. But more importantly, what they know and what their nervous system knows. Their nervous system knows struggle. It knows survival. It knows hardship. So it's going to go back to the baseline. That's why somatic work is so important. A lot of people call this identity work. You might call it, you know, mindset work. I really love to think of it as going deeper than the mind. Again, doing the bottom-up processing because I'm aware of what I'm aware of. But if I don't know how to take my foot off the gas pedal, then I'm going to keep doing this. And it becomes a pattern. And then that behavior keeps playing out, right? Same story, different type of circumstance. This is what Gay Hendricks, the author of The Big Leap, I'm sure many of you have read. Just a reminder, this is what he calls the upper level limit problem, right? It's our tendency to subconsciously, my word, sabotage ourselves once we exceed the artificial, important word, limit we place on ourselves, right? I'm going to read that one more time. It's our tendency to subconsciously sabotage ourselves once we exceed the artificial limit that we place on ourselves. And so we've got these lovely self-protective responses that come online. There are four of them: fight, flight, fawn, and freeze. They come online at varying degrees, as you can imagine. And like I took you through somatically in the beginning to presence your body and to get you connected to the here and now, it's important that our body neurocepts, meaning that it scans constantly, unconsciously, and undetected. Just like breathing or blinking, it's constantly scanning, whether you know it or not. And it's seeing, is this person or place safe or is it dangerous? We smell smoke. Shit, I better check. Is there a fire? That's not good. I see fire out my window. That's not good, right? But if a person is coming up to me and just wants to give me a hug and I know them, my body still might anticipate, ooh, that doesn't feel safe because of a block with intimacy or love, for example. So something even really good, seemingly really good or too good to be true, can also lead us to sabotage even massive amounts of money, success, opportunities, all of those things, right? And so to varying degrees, these four things might show up. And what's important for you to note is the somatic expression, what the body says unconsciously in each of these things. So when I'm sitting with an executive, a client, I'm listening to their body. They're telling me a story. I'm not listening to the story. That's the level of the mind. I listen at the level of the body. So what I'm looking at is as they get close to something that feels a little edgy for them, what is their body telling me? When do those self-protective responses come online? And how can I help them move through it? Because now we're getting close to something that feels unsafe or a little bit interesting there for them. So fawn, let's start with that one. We're going to appease the threat, right? What do I need to do in order to keep the peace? Who do I need to be in order to avoid conflict? What do I need to say? Maybe you're smiling, but you're thinking, you, that's not authentic, obviously, but it's a response that is a self-protective response. Flight, flee the threat. If there is a bear in the room, you better bet your ass I'm going to run the away from that, right? So I'm going to flee the threat. I'm going to run away, but a more mild activation of this might look like in your body, you playing with a zipper or putting a shirt on, getting ready to go somewhere, looping thoughts. Maybe you're lifting up right now. Take a look at your feet. Connect to them. Are you on your toes? Do you have your heels up? Are you tapping your legs? Restlessness, fidgeting, wringing your hands? As I speak, those are flight activation responses. Fight. Confront the threat. Well, I tried to say nice things to the bear. That didn't work. I tried to run away from the bear. That didn't work. Now I'm going to confront the threat. I'm going to fight the bear. This one is blotchy red activation on the skin. You might have narrowed eyes. You might have a forced breath. You might have pursed lips, sweaty. Palms are sweaty. Who does this happen to? This happens to me every time I go to speak on a stage. I get a little bit sweaty, right? A little activation. And so there are certain things that are like lunging forward in posture. That's fight response. Not actually going to punch somebody, but there's a level of activation in my body. And then freeze. When all else fails, we just play dead with the bear, right? We shut down to avoid the threat. What this looks like in functional freeze, especially those of us that have very high demanding careers, is we're going through the motions, but we're sort of disenchanted. Deer in headlights. I'm there, but I'm not really there. I'm here, but I'm not really connected. I'm going through the motions. My limbs feel heavy. I might feel cold all the time. I might even have a pale complexion, right? So looking at all of those things. And then of course there's linguistic prosody and the tone of the voice and all the things play into that. So I'm just going to pause there for a moment and see if I have any questions in the chat. Because I'm saying a lot of stuff. Window of opportunity. Yes, yes, yes. Over-identification. Okay. Any questions about what I just said around upper level limits and somatically what can present itself in the body?
I'll give everyone a minute to throw it in the chat, but what you reminded me of something that there's a really good NLP trainer. He says, so often we try to speak to the unconscious mind. We think it's like you said, kind of a mystical woo-woo sort of situation. He's like, your unconscious mind is just your body. It's your nervous system. That's where all that stuff's hanging out. So the fact that you're going bottom up with that, that's key.
Yeah. And checking in with yourself, and I see you, Angela, checking in with yourself to say, ooh, where am I on the level of activation? And if I were to fall in one of these, you know, it is the body keeps the score. Yes. If I were to fall in any of these particular self-protective responses, and we do because we're animals with nervous systems, and so at any point in time, we can be any of them, then yes, we are on there. And what is alive in you? What is coming up? Where am I activated? And this is important information in three different places. Three different places being as you approach the edge of an upper level limit, how that feels in your body. How does it feel as I get close? Ooh, I'm getting close. Okay. What does that feel like in my body? The second one, right after you hit that triangle, like I showed you in the graphic, right after you peak and you go over the limit. Ooh, I did it. I'm here. Is it too good to be true? What if I take my foot off the gas pedal? So many highly successful women and people that I work with, they struggle with taking their foot off the gas. This is what got them here. God forbid they take their foot off the gas. They think they're going to lose all their success. Right? So resting feels counterintuitive to them. Relaxing feels counterintuitive to them, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. Then the last part you want to pay attention to on those SPRs is how does sabotage show up, which I'm going to talk about in a second. When I sabotage, if I were to remember a time and look back, what happened? How did that show up? Sabotage almost always sounds rational because fear wants to be two things. It wants to keep you from your good and it wants to be right about it. So if it needs to be right about it, it's got to rationalize. And I promise it'll come packaged in a pretty little bow, like right on the top. It'll always sound rational. It's not aligned, you know, and maybe it's not the right time. Is it? Or is it just uncomfortable?
So good.
Yeah. So Angela asks, how do we get more details on the signs of those responses? There's obviously books that you can go out there. I'm going to share with you an anxious archetype framework that I've got. And I'll tell you more about that because we teach this inside my leadership academy. Destin, the unconscious is closer to us than we are to us. Oof. And many people mistake that for their identity. It's not you. It's playing things out historically and calling it the present moment, but it's really determining your future. Do you find it harder to notice in ourselves and others? Not at this point in who I be and the amount of work I've done on myself, but it's a consistent practice. It's like going to the gym, right? I have to continue to go to the gym to be able to handle lifting the level of weights that I lift, right? The heaviness and keep my cardio up. If I were to get out of practice with that, it might be, I might be extra tired. It might be hard to go through the motions, right? I'd get back there, but I'd have to be practiced at it. So it's the same with somatic work. I kind of call it like housekeeping, right? We got to clean up the dust in the corners weekly, bi-weekly, on a consistent basis, so that you're not like, the house is a mess. This is crazy and everything's chaos and falling apart. That is not the time to hire a somatic coach, because we want to clean up the things as they happen, because sabotage is super sneaky. And then we usually notice it way after the fact, that after it's happened. But now imagine real-time calibration, you taking a seat in yourself and being able to identify that. And yeah, so it can be challenging at first, but the more you practice, the more practiced you become, and the more that becomes your default for sure. Practice on reading other people, tracking their nervous system. What do you see in them? Ooh, they're narrowing their eyes, right? Or what is their body saying? Michael says, I do notice myself retreat from the new territory into safety of the known. Yep. Very natural, right? We go back to what we know, but that's not where transformation occurs. Transformation only occurs in the liminal space, right? And I encourage you to lean into the edges. And that's why it's so important to know our body and our nervous system and how that presents itself. People totally do this in their personal relationships. And I shared a story about how I did this with my partner and pushed away the love that was there because I didn't think that it was real, right? I'm like, this is too good to be true. This guy is everything on my list. And so my nervous system's scanning. It's like, is he living a double life? Is his name even Jake? You know, like crazy stuff that it's not even rational, but it's, you know, fear speaking. So people totally do that. Archetypes of the bomb. Yup. Totally. Love it. Love it. What does practice look like? Ooh, yes. So it's not meditation. Meditation is really learning to listen. There's a really powerful quote I love, and it says that prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening. And for me, that has totally been my experience, and I'm extremely visual, as you guys know from this presentation already. And whenever I've had a vision, I treat it as truth. And so for me, that's where meditation is super powerful. But that is not necessarily, it's a somatic practice. It's not necessarily somatic work. Somatic work is where we actually renegotiate trauma in the body, right? So it goes deeper than just, I'm aware I'm sabotaging. Now, how do I change this? You work with somebody that can help you renegotiate this in your body, meaning we work with the healing vortex and the trauma vortex so we can counterintuitively take the charge away so that doesn't become the default programming anymore. So we go slow with space and time at the pace of your nervous system. So work with a coach and a guide that knows what they're doing with that. Where do you think that kind of fear comes from that creates a false situation? Historically, you know, something, again, the body keeps the score, talks about the issues are in the tissues. So when something is historical that doesn't really match the present moment, we bring it into the present moment, and then that starts to determine our future. It may have nothing to do with the present moment, but our body remembers maybe a moment we were abandoned or we were hurt. Or we said something that, or someone said something to us that we took the wrong way. And how the body internalizes those experiences is actually what trauma is. So trauma is anything that happens too much, too soon, too fast, but it's also anything that happens too slow, not enough, too little, like physical touch with parents, childhood neglect, for example. It doesn't have to be like a car accident or some aha moment where you can trace it back to what they call T0. It can actually be a collective of traumas over time. Take, for example, if a parent used silent treatment on you for the longest time. I had this like abandonment thing. And I'm like, where is this coming from? I had a great life. My parents were present. My dad was there. And I was like, oh, but when he wasn't there, he withdrew love as a punishment, emotionally withdrew it. And so even if I didn't know what I did wrong, I was apologizing, fawn response, right? Like, And so, and then it created this dynamic with partners where I have this irrational fear they're going to leave. Why? Because taking love away was used as a punishment for me as a child. So my body remembered that experience, and I can't trust when they're there because anytime they might leave. So I was able to trace that back. There, you may never get back to what your T0 moment is, just so you know. You may never, ever get to that, but you can still do the trauma work and totally heal all this stuff, which is so cool. Do I have examples of people who run into the conflict as a coping mechanism because it's familiar? Yeah, I grew up in chaos, so I thrive in chaos.
all the time. I see this with the relationship to time. So many business owners, they know hard work. I don't question y'all's hard work. You're high achievers. And so if you know hard work, it makes it really hard to know peace and relaxation. So what do? You always create new work, new projects, new mountains to climb. It's never enough because you can't ever get enough of the thing you don't need. So you will always find something to chase, right? Pursue, and rest will be something you don't know. So that's a great example. Again, you might say, I want Fridays off. And then you're the one filling your Fridays on your calendar. Same thing. All right, I'm going to hop back in. spot on. I got you, girl. I know you. Yes. So many, you're not alone in that. So many people struggle. All right, unlearn. High achiever versus high performer. What is the difference? The high achiever, you get high on achieving. It's just a different kind of addiction. Great dopamine hit. Chasing, pursuing, grinding, hustling, building, self-focused. Do everything yourself. There is a season for this. There is. In many ways, this is what got you here. This is what gets you to the 1% of success, right? It's what builds resiliency. It's what builds self-trust. It's what builds confidence that I got me and I can create anything because you're willing to work hard. But also it has us chase the shiny objects, right? We get high on the achieving. It is what I would call sympathetic dominant, meaning we are stuck in a fight flight response all the time. So we don't know rest and we don't know relaxation. And I know that you need this, especially if you plan to go bigger. If you can't hold what you have now, what makes you think you can hold what's coming? You can't. You can't, or you will sabotage it, right? Because it's too much. It's overwhelmed the system and your body will find a way to get rid of it. So what's a high performer? How I define a high performer is someone who has higher levels of performing. These are people that have gone through the initiation and the transition of, I don't need to do everything myself anymore. I fully am okay with letting go of control. I can delegate. I work in my cognitive peak of time, meaning I am most productive in the first morning hours of the day. And that's when I do my work. And I know that if I'm working late into the night and into the weekend, I'm probably not even productive. It's not my best work. If you want to be a 1% person, the commitment to doing 1% work is to do it in the time that you are really at your best, right? You're efficient, vision focused. What goes beyond me? Service. Who is this for? What am I leaving behind? Because it's not about you anymore. You lead with this vision. You produce. You likely have systems that are replicated and able to plug people into those systems. You're really in creation to sustainable success and impact. So there's a big difference. A lot of people have a hard time getting out of the high achiever space. So I created a framework of archetypes. This is what I saw time and time and time again with the people I coach at high levels. It didn't matter. Multimillionaires, CEOs of $30 million plus enterprises, multiple houses, multiple cars, I don't care, whatever. They had all of the external success and they arrived with me in a session and they're like, why am I still not happy? Why can't I just take a day off? Don't I know how to play with my kids? Why am I not present? I feel like I am constantly never where I need to be and I can't relax. And so I came up with the anxious achiever archetypes, which specifically work with those four SPRs. So you can identify which one you're dominant in. Like I said at the beginning, and I'll say it again, we are animals with a nervous system having a very human experience. So you might see these and think, oh, I'm all of them. And the answer is, you're right. You are all of them. But we all have a default. We all have one that's dominant. And I would even say a subdominant. So if there's one or two that you're reading on my screen right now that you're like, oh, I feel seen, like that's normal. And then there might be a couple others, one or two that you're probably like, ooh, yeah, I do that a lot. That's like my default. So in times of overwhelm, in times of chaos, stress, right? Stress contracts the vision, relaxation returns us to it. But when we're in contraction and stress is high, we are very low in intellect, and we are in one of these. We are not making our best decisions. So we are not in our high performer persona. we're in the high achiever. We're chasing the achievement. We're chasing the dopamine to get away from the stress. So these self-protective impulses, again, I told you about the somatic expression. This is just in writing. And then the controller and the pusher, right? Then fight response. The controller has a really hard time delegating, holding on to everything, right? Being the hero of everything. The pusher, always finding a new mountain to climb, never satisfied or celebrating their current level. Flight, futurist, the alarmist. Futurist is never here right now. This particular one has trouble really being present, especially if you have kids or family, and deepening into the richness of life that really is available to you guys, like right now, always, all the time, if you just listen and tune in. The alarmist, constant sense of urgency. I got to get it done now, but it's based on falsified timelines, urgency in the body, in other words. Fawn, the perfectionist and the people pleaser, right? The people pleaser overcommits and says things that they say yes and they mean no. They might not even know where you end and they begin. They don't even know what their opinion is. Very vanilla. The perfectionist, again, feeling very unsafe to be seen for who they really are. These two, the perfectionist and people pleaser, are interesting because they are only socially motivated and they are only externally based and oriented, right? I can only be okay, this response says, if you're okay. So they're constantly scanning and creating safety outside of themselves, which is not where it exists, right? And then freeze, going through the motions, the robot and the victim. The robot is just going through the motions, disenchanted, bare minimum, but getting it done. Still might be quite functional in your life, but really having trouble moving the needle. And the victim is just like, you know what? I'm powerless to everything. Everything's happening to me. I have no choice. And so there we would invite having more of the victor consciousness, which is this is happening for me. So just a few ways you might see yourself in that. But we're going to redefine. We have to redefine and unlearn everything. So moving beyond your upper level limits, right? That's where sustainable success exists. Not to say you won't ever sabotage again, because you're human. You will. You will absolutely sabotage. I don't want you to be scared of fear or sabotage, because it'll happen. But this will give you a different edge, right? So I'm going to have you close your eyes again, feet to the ground. And I mentioned three things earlier that I'm going to bring you through right now. Just press your back against the back of the chair. Listening to that most distant sound again. Bringing your awareness, gently pushing your feet into the ground. And I want you to remember a time where you knew that you were approaching the edge of an upper level limit. You're getting close. Is this for me? Can I have this? I can taste it. I'm almost there. What does that feel like in your body as I say that? And you're just going to take this experience right now in your mind and in your body. You can take notes after. Where do you feel this specifically? What location in your body? And then what does that feel like? That's the felt sense experience. The felt sense experience is how we experience the body at the level of sensation, our feelings. So where do you feel this and what are the sensations? I'll give you some examples, those of you that are new to sensations and connecting to the body. Is it hot or cold? Does it have a texture? Maybe it's dry. What do you notice about your body? Is it tight? Is it loose? Are there edges or shape to this particular energy? Yeah, it's okay if there's some emotions here too. Just being with that. Is it pleasant or unpleasant? Is it tolerable to be with? Maybe it has a color, a smell. Really bringing all the senses in. It's not logical, remember. I've had people say, it's purple and it smells like Oreos. Cool, that's your truth. Okay, so just put a pin in that one. And then I want you to remember a time that you just arrived over that limit. Like, oh my God, it's here. I really did it. I've gotten the thing. I have reached the new level. Where do you feel that in your body? And what do those sensations feel like? Is it pleasant or unpleasant? Walking yourself through some of those sensations. Is it tight? Is it loose? Does it have edges? Does it have a texture? If you were to touch it, maybe it even has a taste. If it were to have a taste. And then put a pin in that. And the last one. I want you to remember a time looking back that you're like, I totally sabotaged that. I fucked up that really good thing. And looking back, I knew it. I know it. It sounded rational. And I just know that I sabotaged that. I didn't know at the time, but I know now. Where do you feel that in your body? Location. What does that feel like? What are the sensations? Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? It might be pleasant considering sabotage is protection, just to let you know. Maybe it has a color or sound. Does it want to expand or does it want to stay there? Does it want to leave? Stay? Just noticing that. Nothing to fix here, just noticing. And then when you feel ready, you can come back. And I just want you to jot down a couple things that stood out for you. What did you notice with that exercise? What do I recommend as an embodiment practice to gain more energy from fatigue? Walking with morning light. Get out first thing in the morning. Here's why. It starts to anchor your body and reset it for the circadian rhythm so that you can sleep at night. And then naturally at night, then your body produces melatonin even better. So get out in the morning light and move, walk. It seems counterintuitive, right? Futurist strikes a chord. Futurist for you too. It's funny. People are like, I feel seen. My neck tightened up. I got the chills. Ooh, something there for you. Helps put words to the feelings. Feels like gaining some control over it. Yeah, a lot of the somatic work is first noticing and then seeing what the body wants to do. You know, does it feel safe to let go? Like surprisingly, when we identify sabotage or fear, sometimes the answer is no, the body doesn't want to let go of it yet. And then cognitively, clients are like, but I want it to go away. I don't want to sabotage. I don't want to be fearful. And I'm like, yeah, but we have to create some safety around that, right? So that's the process of it. So glad. So glad. Okay. Let's finish up here. So remember, stress contracts the vision, right? We are not our highest self when we are at too high of stress. Are we going to have stress? Yeah, we're going to have stress. That's like a normal part of life. There will always be flat tires and unforeseen things. Now, are you metabolizing stress? Do you have better stress management? Do you have someone to help you work through and process that? I would suggest doing it, right? There is a lot of stress with higher levels of success. Suddenly you have a team, you have people you're responsible to pay for. You have people you've got to lead that are looking to you to help them orchestrate a vision. So yeah, the higher level of success can be higher levels of stress. However, there are ways to manage and move fluidly through that without basically losing your shit all the time. Relaxation returns us to the vision. That's why rest and relaxation are so important. I promise you, you are going to be even more fulfilled once you connect to the richness that's available to you in every moment. Beyond a certain amount of money, people aren't happier anyway, right? They're not more fulfilled. They just have more things that they've got to manage. Nothing wrong with that. Listen, I'm all for cars and luxurious houses and enjoying great food and all the things that come with that. But if your only worthiness comes from getting high on the achievement of those things, you will have nothing at the end of the day. And they're always on Zoom calls with me, right? Like, gosh, I don't know why. I just don't feel fulfilled, right? Or maybe they're super stressed. So I have a couple of things that might also help you identify and indicate when you're close to or just beyond an upper level limit. What I find with clients and in my own experience is that fear shows up louder the closer you are to that edge, right? It might have you asking, what if it doesn't work for me? What if I can't get there? But I might invite you to ask, what part of you is asking? Don't let fear talk you out of anything less than everything you want. There are no limits. There's just self-perceived limits. Feelings of limitation and contraction might be another indicator, right? If this was the right decision, you might be thinking, then why does it feel so limiting? You might feel trapped. It might feel like, oh, I don't know if I made the right decision, but the contraction always comes before the expansion. If you can stay in that space a little bit longer, the inevitable cycle is it will expand on the other side. You just have to sit in that discomfort a little longer, which brings me to rationalizing lack of alignment. This one is, it sounds really spiritual and smart often, and sometimes it is led by intuition, which of course I'm going to encourage you to listen to, but other times it sounds like it is very intuitively led when in fact it's cloaked in spirituality and it's just bypassing. So you might be saying, yeah, this isn't aligned. And then you find yourself rationalizing why. So is it not aligned or is it just uncomfortable? Be honest with yourself. There are many things that are aligned that also feel uncomfortable because you've never been here before, which is where most of us contemplate, number four, going back to the familiar. So you might be asking here, is this even what I want? After I had a client of mine who runs a multi-million dollar enterprise get promoted into the CEO role, the other co-CEO gets fired. She takes over and she goes, I don't know if I even want this. And I said, what part of you is asking? She goes, the part that's scared. I said, okay. So we sat with that for a minute. And, you know, $5 million that she got wired in funding later, she's good. But she's questioning, can I do it? That's normal, right? Transformation only occurs, like I told you, in the liminal space. Father Richard Rohr defines the liminal space as the in-between. So it's when you're growing, you've left the space you were in, and yet you've walked into the space that you don't know and the lights aren't on yet. So every part of you, of course, is going to want to go back to the room you just came from. It's well lit, it's cozy, you know where all the furniture is. Maybe you picked it out. That's familiar. It's cozy, it's comfortable. That is not where transformation occurs. There was this story that went viral on Instagram about lobsters. And lobsters only grow under stress, right? So their soft little body fills that hard shell. And then they've got to go back up into a corner. They have to break out of the hard shell. They have to build a new shell that's bigger for their soft body to grow into. And then they go back out in the world. But the only time that they go and grow a new shell is when they're uncomfortable. Imagine we robbed you of that. We robbed you of the transformation and grow into more of yourself. And the funny thing about this too, that's not lost on me, is they don't say, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for a bigger shell. I might not fill it. My body might not grow. No, it's inevitable. It's inevitable.
Super helpful.
Good, good.
Archetypes. That was huge.
Yeah.
So I know everyone's probably thinking, where else can we find you?
Yeah. Find me over at Elevate with Kerri, KERI.com, or on Instagram. I am Kerri Ford, KERI. And I only work with women, but we have an academy for leadership for women. And if any guys out there want some support with things, you know, my partner works with men in the same capacity.
This was awesome. Thank you so much for hosting today. I know I personally just got a lot out of this. I know everyone who's going to watch in the replay is going to love this too.